Well, joining us on the line is Barbara Edmonds. Barb, welcome.
Kia ora. And I don't know if people know this, but Willie Jackson is my neighbour, so I heard him talking down the phone and then realised, oh, it's you fellas.
Well, our code word for Willie today is Kojak. Oh, I tell you.
Hey, today?
Look, it's been one of those funny days. We've talked to economists from across the mutu, Brad Olson, Susan St. John. We've spoken to Cameron Bagri. We had Matt Riskrugi, the Māori economist, in the lockup for us. And the sense we're getting is that it's confusing, that there seems to be a lot of hope pinned on return to surplus in 28-29. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I sure as hell know how to use a calculator, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. What's your sense of the budget?
So you have to trust the Treasury's calculations as to how they got to that surplus. Mm. But the decision making sits with the Minister of Finance and ultimately the Cabinet and therefore the government. You know, so a lot of questions that I've been asked is, do you really think the government's going to make those public service cuts or those savings? Mm. And the moment, I think it was about 3 hours later, that Winston Peters said, yeah, everyone else is going to get a cut, but not my lot. Yeah. You know, that put a bit of doubt into it. S&P, who is a rating agency, they have released a press release today, basically, so probably you could frame it as they're not satisfied with what the government is doing to try and bring it into to do the fiscal consolidation. But ultimately, we need to go off the numbers that Treasury provides. Those are the books. But if you look at the books that the Labor left and you track how this government has gone since then, everything has been downgraded.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I've been noticing. I mean, I don't want to impinge Treasury at all, actually, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to the government to take the advice that they're given. And Treasury traditionally are also quite conservative, I would have thought. And yet we still have a budget handed down that is quite also loose on detail. I mean, for example, there seem to be a lot of announceables that are interesting, but Infrastructure New Zealand, the weirdest press release of the day, has to be thanking the government for not doing much at all in terms of infrastructure. So, I mean, is this an election year budget or is it something altogether different?
Well, ultimately, they've failed. National has failed, from my perspective, on all accounts. This was their final test. The budget was their final chance to show New Zealanders that they actually understand what their struggle is and to be able to make the choices, the policy choices, to deal with what New Zealanders are facing. But what you see in this year's budget basically takes away from the poor, gives to the poor. That does not make our country richer.
Barbara, I'm looking at the budget bomber here. I'm looking at the budget and it's cut after cut after cut after cut, and the point seems to be the cutting. Like, the end point in the vision is to just keep cutting. There isn't really any focus on, well, where are you going to get new revenue from? And if we look at the one thing that they seem to have gone for, which is this a fee on banks, that's going to bring in $70 million, but they earned $7.2 billion in profits last year. Mm. If you were serious about creating new pathways of revenue to fund all the things that we're currently having to cut right now, surely going after banks' windfall taxes and profits requires more than just harvesting $70 million. I mean, David Seymour's already come out and said, oh, they'll just pass that straight on to the consumers. If you're serious about creating new infrastructure, new revenue paths, surely you'd be doing more than just that.
And that's the underlying issue, right? New Zealand has what they say productivity, basically what we produce and provide in goods and services, has actually been lagging for a little while now. And when you look at the research, you know, the Productivity Commission, the Reserve Bank, the IMF, the OECD, they all say that there's these sort of key areas where if we don't deal with them, then we won't get more productivity, you won't get higher wages, and you won't get higher living standards. So one area, for example, is access to capital. So New Zealand firms find it difficult to access the capital they need to, say, buy new machinery or grow, unless they have a house that they can use as security.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an issue. And that's why the our first two policy economic announcements, the Future Fund, which is a new sovereign wealth, a new capital pool, and the capital gains tax to basically on land, is to basically make investors say, actually, purchasing a piece of land is the same as investing in a business. That's I've now got two choices rather than just going for the piece of land.
No.
So you need to deal with those structural issues in order to get the higher income and the higher wages.
But Matt Tugaki again. It seems to me, just reading through the budget documents, the press releases, talking to all of these economists, that there seems to be an underlying issue with the structural integrity of our economy. It seems to me as if we're casting about with a model that's very 1970s, 80s centric, and yet not fully prepared as an engine room, if you like, for growth into the future. For example, the lack of plans on AI. So is it a case that we actually need to spend more time on structural reform of the economy?
Well, they're quite, you know, those structural changes that are needed. It's access to capital.
Yeah.
It's improvements to competition policy. It's around lifting innovation tech R&D. You know, it's around making sure that the skills and the education matches the workforce of the future that we need.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fifth one, which we can't do because we can't move our country, is our geographical distance to our markets, but making sure we have open markets.
Mm.
So those are the structural policies that we should be looking to do to address our low wages and our low productivity in New Zealand, as well as employment rights around fair pay agreements, etc. But this budget basically doesn't try to address that. And what it does is they're saying that we can get richer by cutting things. No, that's not how it works. Never worked well like that.
Quick question, Barbara, before we wrap for the show. Is there an irony of building more climate change resistance roads as this government kills off the Ministry of the Environment and is caught out helping big polluters put together and implement their policy wishes?
Yeah, and that's been my conversation the last 2 years and my criticism of them, which is basically you're saying that we are volatile to geopolitical conflicts, which, by the way, increased LNG prices, but you haven't done anything for the last 2 years to help us transition to more renewable energy sources.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the irony with the government. They say these things and they know what the problems are, but they just don't want to deal with it because at the moment, for them, giving tax cuts to property investors and speculators is greater. But that actually only just improves one part of the economy, which is land.
Absolutely.
It doesn't actually give us anything extra.
Now, Barb, we're going to have to go to the 6 o'clock news. I want to thank you for joining us. I know it's been a very long day, and hopefully the first budget that you hand down is going to be less focused on pantsuits and whatever the hell's been going on down there and more on the structural integrity of our future. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.